Second overview of the Parsha. Right, Parsha's Va'era obviously begins coming off of the cliffhanger of last week's Parsha. The cliffhanger of last week's Parsha is that Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ever since you sent me to Paro, things are just getting worse and worse and worse. So Hashem, you don't know what you're doing. And Hashem begins the Parsha by saying, Moshe, relax. I got this under control. I'm going to take care of Paro. And everything's going to be fine. And we begin to see in this week's Parsha, as Moshe grapples with, you know, will the Jews even believe me if I come to them? Relax, go to Paro. He'll do some magic tricks. He'll turn your staff into a snake. And then you'll begin to bring the makos. And in this week's Parsha, we have 7 out of 10 makos. Dam, Tzverdeya, Kinam, Arov, Dever, Shchin, and Barad. Okay? It's an overview of the Parsha. So the opening pasuk of the parsha is Ve'era el Avraham el Yitzchak. Not the opening pasuk, the second pasuk of the parsha. Ve'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shakai u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. The pasuk pshat is Moshe, you've seen so much more of me than the Avos, and yet you're still complaining. The Avos I only appeared with the name Kel Shakai, but to you, I've displayed myself that much more. You know that I'm in charge of the world. It should be more obvious to Moshe Rabbeinu based on our relationship, and yet you're still questioning me. But okay, Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to prove to you that I know what I'm doing, and power is not in charge of the world. Okay? But let's see a very interesting little piece here, which relates to the days in which we find ourselves. What do I mean by the days in which we find ourselves? We haven't spoken about it yet. Right? Shovavim. By show of hands, who has heard of Shovavim? By show of hands, okay. What is Shovavim? Well, Shovavim is Rashi Tevos, Shemos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisrael, Mishpatim. The word Shovavim also is a pasuk, as the Navi says, Shuvu, Banim, Shovavim. Return to Hashem, children who are Shovavim. Shovavim. What's a Shovav? Wayward or mischievous, right? So these days are established as days of tshuva. Shuvu banim shovavim. The parshios of Shmos ve'era bo b'shalach yisum eshpatim, which are parshios where we read about the formation of Klal Yisrael, of the Jews being in Mitzrayim, sinking to the 49th level of Tumah, and then coming out of there and rising up to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. As we read about that historical transformation, we want to make sure that we're also going through that transformation. You like what you see, Josh? Yeah, it's strong. It's pretty strong. Baruch Hashem. Hi, Ryan. I didn't say hi to you. Shalom. Welcome back. Had a good break? Okay, so Shovavim are days of transformation, of spiritual elevation. And in particular, and again, this is rooted in the Arizal and many other Svarim HaKadoshim. Again, exactly when it was established or how it was revealed that these are special days is a good question. But as one of my good old friends likes to say, that even if Shovavim is not real, it's still kedai to think about. I mean, even if you say, what is this Shovavim? The Gemara doesn't talk about Shovavim, right? There's no early sources for Shovavim, right? Or at least they're not early enough for me to buy into this thing called Shovavim. The Arizal made up Shovavim. So let's say the Arizal made up Shovavim. It's still a good idea, right? To work on Shmiras Einayim and Shmiras Habris and Tikkun Pagam Habris, etc., etc. All the things that are associated with Shovavim. Mitzrayim is called in Tanakh Ervas Haaretz. Mitzrayim is known as a place of Arayos, of sexual immorality. And therefore, part of the Tikkun of these days, of getting out of Mitzrayim and becoming Jews, is working on being Metakin, specifically that Inyan. So it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea to work on it and to think about it and to try to be more guarded in areas of Kedusha. That's what Shovavim is primarily about. And you'll see, people give shiurim about Taras HaMashpacha and things related to Inyani Kedusha. It's a very worthwhile thing to think about. So let's start with this piece, which talks about the fundamental nature of a bris milah. Herani Hashem b'zeh b'rachamav uv'rov chasadav dvarim no'ra'im v'niflam. He says, I want to share with you something wondrous. An amazing thing. V'nakdim ma'di'isa v'gemara. Let's talk about a gemara that's hard to understand. The gemara says in Yom Adaf Chavches, It also appears at the end of Maseches Kedushin. Kiyem Avram Avinu kol haTorah kula ad shelo nitna. Avram kept the entire Torah. Question is, how did Avram keep the entire Torah? And what does that mean, Avram kept the whole Torah? Did he keep it the same way that we keep it? He followed Mamish the Torah the way Avram lived before the Torah. How did Avram keep kol haTorah kula? V'tzarech lahavin zeh, meheichan yada v'hi sigla kayim kol pratei mitzvos haTorah. How did Avram know? Did Avram have his own secret advanced copy of the Chumash? Did Avram Avinu receive the mitzvos orally from Hashem? How did he know the pratim? What Shulchan Aruch was Avram Avinu looking at to find out how to keep Shabbos? And did Avram keep Hilchos Shabbos the way that we keep Hilchos Shabbos? Did Avram wear tefillin the way that we wear tefillin? What does it mean Avram kept Kol HaTorah Kula? And how did he do it? How did he figure it out? We don't see in the Chumash that Hashem shared it with him. Is there a Medrash that says that God, again, secretly taught Avram Kol HaTorah Kula? Sounds like on his own he kind of figured out what to do. How is that possible? V'yesh lomar lefi ani azdaiti. Hapi shashamati b'shem ha'eshel ha'gadol. Ki Avram kibal al atzma osibris. If there's one mitzvah that Avram is specifically known for, it's the mitzvah of Bris Milah. How old was Avram Avinu when he had his Bris Milah? 99 years old. 99 years old, and he had his Bris Milah, which is an unbelievable act of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avram Avinu is associated with the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And he writes here, and this is why we're learning this piece, it's very important to realize, Uva mitzvah zos hu kolol kol hatariag mitzvos. And the mitzvah of Bris Milah encompasses, it envelops, it's kolol, it contains within it, kol hatariag mitzvos. Gedola mila sheshekula keneged kol haMitzvos sheBetorah. Great is Bris Milah that it's equated with all of the mitzvos in the Torah. There's a reason that you start your life as a Jewish person, if you're a male, the first mitzvah that you do, even before your chayiv and mitzvos, as an 8-day-old baby, whose mitzvah is it? It's your mitzvah? It's your father's mitzvah? It's your family's mitzvah? Right? Is your mitzvah, but someone else is helping you to do it? Is it your mitzvah as an 8-day-old child, or it's your mitzvah when you become bar mitzvah? If you didn't have a bris milah, then it's your mitzvah. A lot to talk about in terms of the halacha and the lamdas, right? But the bottom line is that an 8-day-old baby is entered into brisos shel Avraham Avinu. That's the starting point. That's the foundation of your relationship with Hashem, a bris. As the Sefer HaChinuch writes in the second mitzvah of the Torah, the bris is the way that we mark our body to say that I'm categorically different than the rest of the world. The same way that a person who, you know, is part of the king's, let's say, palace, there's a certain way that he dresses and he wears a certain symbol on his clothing, right, showing that he works for the king, that he's part of this kingdom, so to speak, the coat of arms of that kingdom. So too, a Jew marks his body to say, my body carries an os, a sign that I'm a Jew. And that's the starting point. And it's interesting. Again, Avram Avinu, what are we saying? Avram kept all the mitzvos before he was commanded. When you get a bris milah, it's also you sort of doing a mitzvah before you're commanded. Because you're not really chayav in mitzvos as an 8-day-old baby. And yet, that mitzvah lays a foundation for your whole life. And therefore, says the Degel Machane Ephraim, if bris encompasses all taryag mitzvos, all 613 mitzvos, as the Gemara says explicitly, in the Darim Daf Lamed Beis. So then, Avram Avinu, by having a Bris Milah, from the Bris Milah, everything else, so to speak, fell into place. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're entering into a covenant with God. And as a Jew, that comes with Kol HaTorah Kula.
And also, I know that it's spoken about that the Arla is like a Kula.
Right.
And so, in that sense, it would be like you're closed off from all Torah and you remove the Kula, like it's all there now.
Right. I mean, the Torah is sort of inherently there. It's just a question of removing the blockage and allowing you to connect the Torah. Now, I'm not sure if he's saying that Avram Avinu When the Gemara says Avram kept all the mitzvos, it means he kept bris milah, which is equal to all the mitzvos. Or he's saying that through having a bris milah, he was then able, so to speak, to figure out all the mitzvos. But either way, the lesson is super important for us. What it's sort of telling us is, in accordance with one's commitment to the bris, one will have success in Torah. And you see that that's true. When a person starts to lose control of the Yetzer Hara for niyuf, for sexuality, right, it can become very damaging. When a person is pogam the bris, when a person is mezalzel in this kedusha of the bris milah, so very often it leads to all sorts of bilbulim and amuna, questions on God, and a person starts to feel disconnected from Shabbos. The Sfarim say it's true, and people who struggle with shmiras habris can tell you directly that it's true. Or if you've ever struggled with it, you know that it's true. It causes a terrible rifyon, a terrible weakening in all of one's avodas Hashem. And the reason is because a bris is the foundation of all the mitzvos. Gam shamati ki bris im hakol el mispar taryag. And in fact, the gematria of the word bris is 612. The way that he says it here is another way to say it, I think even more simply, is that what? Is that bris is connected the 612 other mitzvos, right? Meaning in accordance with your commitment to bris, that brings along 612, the other 612 mitzvot that a Jew is expected to do. V'yesh lo mer shezeu kaso shebo kolul kol taryag mitzvos. So that's what it means, that the bris milah impacts all 613 mitzvos. And Avram kept all 613. By having a bris at age 99 with mesiras nefesh, it was as if Avram accepted upon himself to do everything. V'yesh lo mer shemizeh ha-mitzvah histakel Avram avinu olav ha-shalom, prate kol ha-taryag mitzvah shal kol ha-torah kula. That from bris milah, by having such a holy bris milah, Avram Avinu was able to then what? To recognize. His body was now elevated to the point that he could recognize what Hashem wanted from him. The truth is, our body really tells us how to keep Torah and mitzvos. Chazal say there are 248 limbs connected to 248 mitzvos asay. There are 365 gidim, sinews, that correspond to the 365 los asay. So somehow the framework, the makeup of the body automatically understands what it's supposed to do. My left arm knows, assuming that you're a righty, that it needs tefillin. But again, in accordance with my spiritual alignment with Hashem, I'm able to recognize that. Right? So Avram Avinu, when he got a bris milah, he was able to understand automatically all of the prate taryag mitzvahs. His whole body became elevated because of that. Right? He went from the world of Avram to Avraham. What's the gematria of Avraham? 248. Right? That means every limb of his body, 248 limbs of the body, understood their mission in this world. And again, we may not be on the level of Avram to be able to, you know, look at my finger and say, oh, what is this mitzvah? Or to try to infer, oh, how am I supposed to, you know, use my left leg in the service of Hashem? Thankfully, we have a Torah, we have a Shas, we have a Shulchan Aruch. Right? But Avram Avinu, by understanding the depth of Bris Milah, understood everything. And again, the lesson to us is very strong, that in accordance with one's commitment to the bris, a person is able to solidify his relationship with Kol HaTorah Kula. V'kiyem kol mitzvah u'mitzvah min ha-taryag mitzvos al yedei mitzvah zu. He was able to fulfill all 613 by way of this mitzvah, shehu bris kadisha kolel kol ha-mitzvos. Let's add one more interesting piece to this. Right, I told you that the Gemara that talks about Avraham's bris milah, and how bris milah is what? How bris milah is an all-encompassing mitzvah is found in what mesechta? Nedarim. Meseches Nedarim. Why is it found in Meseches Nedarim? Seems like a tangent over there. Why all of a sudden does the topic of bris milah come up in Meseches Nedarim? I'm talking on a level of Chassidus and Pnimiyus Hatorah. Yeah. Okay, so a person sometimes, right, takes a shvua, right, simna yadcha tachas yireichi, place your hand beneath my thigh, right, by the makom bris, and use that as a way of taking an oath, okay? It could be viewed as, bris milah could be viewed as a chefsa shal mitzvah, same way one would take a sefer Torah in their hand and swear on a Torah, you could swear on a bris milah, okay, yeah, what else? Okay? Again, the bris is itself, right, is itself a shua of sorts to Hashem. What else? What's Maseches Nedarim about? It's about oaths, right? It's about commitments of speech. What do we know about Mitzrayim? Again, we're reading the Parshios of Shovavim. What was one of the struggles that the Jewish people faced in Mitzrayim? The Svarim tell us it was a Galus HaDibor. Right? Speech was in exile. It took the Jews a long time even to figure out how to cry out to Hashem. We lost our ability to communicate. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu also says, I can't get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. I don't even know how to talk. If you don't know how to speak, right? There's a relationship between the Kedushas HaPeh and the Kedushas HaBris. There's an interesting bond between Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris. On a very practical level, a person who talks in a crude way is more likely to then act in a crude way. You know, that's why it's important when you go for the summer internship and you're standing around the water cooler. Do people even have water coolers, or that's just like a mushroom? There's water coolers? Yeah? Do people like stand around the water cooler talking about like who they slept with last night? Is that like a real thing? People do that?
No.
No, they don't do that. Sometimes they do that. It depends where you work. It depends where you work. Yeah? So if you're standing around, you know, a water cooler with some of your Gentile coworkers who maybe are not as guarded in the way that they speak, maybe it's a work environment, you know, where the F word is welcomed in the work environment. Yeah, and you hear people talking in a crude way, or sharing dirty jokes, or talking about, you know, their private lives. Kedushas HaPen, Kedushas HaBris, go together. And that's why a Jew has to be so careful about the way that we speak. Right? The Gemara says, in Maseches Chagiga, Chagiga Daf Hei, the Gemara says that even the Sicha Kala, Even the small conversations between a husband and wife in the privacy of their bedroom have to be done in a way of Kodesh Baruch Hu holds a person accountable for that. Right? Husband and wife should speak lovingly to each other in the bedroom. But even that has to be done because there's a relationship between the way that a person speaks and the way that Bris Milah, the way that there's Bris Milah. That's why Yosef tried to give them a Bris in Mitzrayim. Right? Yosef tried to circumcise the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. And that's why Mitzrayim is a Golus HaDibor. All these things, the relationship between Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris is very, very deep and is very, very significant. Right? Right, Paro, Pera, Pera. The letters Paro is Pera. Right? And the emergence from Mitzrayim leads to a Yom Tov called Pesach, a mouth that speaks properly. Because they go very much hand in hand. Okay? Why am I telling you about all of this? To explain why the sugya of Bris Milah is in Maseches Nedarim. Because Maseches Nedarim is about how do you use your speech. The Torah says, Lo yachel dvaro. Right? If you make a promise, keep your words. Be true to your words. The way that a person speaks is going to affect the way that a person interacts in terms of his Bris Milah. Right? So again, all these themes appear in these parshos. It's what's happening spiritually in terms of these days of Shovavim. And again, it's Avram Avinu's remarkable ability to infer the mitzvos through his bris milah. What does this have to do with the pasuk that we started with? Well, that's the next paragraph. But I'm not going to do the next paragraph because it's very Kabbalistic and it's very hard, and I'm going to choose to skip it. Okay? So I didn't teach you anything about the parsha, but I taught you something nice. Our Rebbe, the Dalai Machan Ephraim, taught us something nice about Shovavim and a new understanding of how Avram Avinu was able to be an all-encompassing Jew through that one mitzvah of bris milah. And that should be mechazik us to take seriously the bris, the covenant that we made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we were 8 days old. A person sometimes thinks, Kedushas HaBris is such a hard thing. It's such a strong temptation. The Svarim say it's one of the strongest temptations that a person, Rabbi Nachman said when he was a young person, the first desire that he had to try to break was he had very strong sexual desires. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said he took all of his taiva for sexuality, and he put it into food. And then he realized that's not going to work. So then he tried to give up food completely. And then later in life, Rabbi Nachman was less extreme about things. And again, halavai, we should be able to, have proper, healthy intimacy with our spouses in the right time, in the right way. Right? We don't have to adopt an ascetic approach to Yiddishkeit where we give up all physicality. We dafka should embrace physicality, and the intimate relationship between husband and wife is a beautiful thing. It's the shorash of all mitzvahs, puravu. It's the starting point of kol haTorah kula. We don't believe in our priests being celibate. We believe in our, you know, rabbis sometimes having very big families, right? So we're not against these things. But again, it has to be done in a way of holiness. Yeah. Good question. I mean, what mitzvah, if we're saying for a man, bris milah is sort of that foundation upon which his whole relationship with Torah mitzvahs is built, what would be the equivalent mitzvah for women? That's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer that question. I mean, beyond right, the notion, like I told you, of the Sefer HaChinuch, of entering into some type of bond with Hashem, or marking your body in some type of way that shows that I'm a Jew. Right? So why do women not have that? Why do women not need that? Something more fundamental about a woman's relationship with Hashem. That's why a Jewish woman determines the Judaism of a child. Right? You're Jewish if your mother's Jewish. It doesn't matter who your father is. So for some reason a woman doesn't need that act, that maisa, in order to forge that bond. But why that is a good question. Okay, let's turn to the piece Vagam Ani Shamati. Yeah, quick comment. Right, with the world of Bina.
So they don't need that.
Okay. Right. There's a lot of different ways we could explain why a woman, you know, what it is about the feminine nature that doesn't require it. But yeah, that's a good way to say it. It's a good way to say it. She comes to the Pratim without the Klal. It's a strong idea. Okay, Vagam Ani Shamati, it's on page Kuf Yud Zayin in the bottom left-hand corner. Vagam ani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael asher mitzrayim ma'avidim osam ve'ezkoras b'risi. Here's a beautiful piece. And also I have heard the cries of b'nei Yisrael who are being enslaved by the Egyptians, and I remembered my bris. I remembered my promise to the Jews. Hashem is paying attention to us. Don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says, I'm going to take care of Klal Yisrael. Yesh l'hoyer b'zeh tevas ma'avidim shu po'el yotzei. Ma'avidim is a strange way to speak. Why does the Pasuk say that I recognize the cries of Bnei Yisrael, that the Egyptians are ma'avidim? Ma'avidim, why doesn't it say ovdim osam? That they're making them work. Ma'avidim means that it's like causing them, it's causative. They're causing them to become slaves. They made us our slaves. They caused us to what? To enslave ourselves? What does that mean, ma'avidim? It's a little bit of a funny lashon. V'yesh lomar b'zeh, alpi masha amarti kfar on the pasuk, v'yad'u mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. He says, I'll explain based on something that I explained earlier. V'yad'u mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, that the Egyptians should know that I am Hashem. Shehiksha adoni avi zakeni zatzal. My grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, asked the question. Hold on a second. You're telling me that all of these miracles that you're doing are so that the Egyptians should know that you are God? Shelefi hanira hu tmua ma'od. Sheyasa Hashem kol ha'osos va'mosim. Hashem, you're doing all of these miracles, all of these wondrous things. B'shidur ha'ma'arachos l'mala. You're moving around the constellations. You're overturning nature. Miderach ha'teva. V'chol ha'yara chazaka. V'chol ha'mor ha'gadol sha'asa. And all of the things you did with your strong and powerful and wondrous hand. Hashem, all of that. Hakol hu b'shvil sheyedu mitzrayim ki ani Hashem? Why do you care so much? In other words, the Baal Shem Tov was asking, God, why do you care so much that Mitzrayim should know that you're Hashem? You care to save Klal Yisrael, right? So just take us out of Mitzrayim. Hey, Armando, welcome back. Baruch Hashem. We missed you. I got a report yesterday when you landed. We're following you step by step. No, so you hear the question? The question is, why do we care if Mitzrayim knows that Hashem exists? I care that the Jews should not suffer at the hands of Mitzrayim. I care that the Jews should be taken to our Sinai and receive the Torah. Why is the Pasuk emphasizing, oh, Mitzrayim's going to know that there's a God? Who cares if Mitzrayim, what Mitzrayim knows or doesn't know? It's so important to Hashem that they should know that He is Hashem. It says the Degel Malchut Ephraim, I'll answer with simplicity. When Hashem says, I need the Egyptians to know, He's not talking about the Egyptians. Who cares if the Egyptians know or don't know? And if they know, they're going to remember, they're going to forget, they're going to go back to being Egyptians. Hashem needs Klal Yisrael to know. We're the ones who are the ones who carry Hashem's name through this world. So what does it mean I need Mitzrayim to know? Says the Degel Malchut Ephraim, there were Jews in Mitzrayim who had become very Mitzri. The Jews had become Egyptian-like. And therefore when it says, I need the Egyptians to know, I need those Jews who are Bechinas Mitzrayim. She'osim Masa Mitzrayim. I need the Jews who are acting Egyptian. And you know that that's true because when they stood at the Yam Suf, the angels in Shemayim were saying, whoa, hold on, time out here, what is this? Why are you saving these Jews? What makes them better than the Egyptians? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? They're basically Egyptian. They're basically Egyptian. Yeah. As the Satmar Rebbe said, it took one moment to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, but it took 40 years in the wilderness to get the Mitzrayim out of the Jews. It took 40 years in the wilderness to get the Mitzrayim. There was a lot of Mitzrayim in us. Right? We got rid of a nice chunk of it on the way to Har Sinai in a certain level. Those 49 days to Kabbalah Satorah got rid of part of it. But to really come to Eretz Yisrael, to come to the place of the Jews, it took a long time to get it out of our system. So when the Pasuk says, Hashem says, I need the Mitzrim to recognize me. I need those Jews who are acting like Mitzrim, Rachmana Litzlan. Shenitbu'u b'sheker, Rachmana Litzlan. Jews who are nitbu, who are drowning in the falsehood of Mitzrayim. A lot of what we were going through in Mitzrayim was a false narrative. What was the false narrative in Mitzrayim? You're so lucky to be a slave in Egypt. Why am I calling that a false narrative? Where do we see such a svara that is actually true? You're so lucky to be a slave. Where do we see that? Well, that's where we see Klal Yisrael bought into that sheker. But where do we see a true svara where we say to someone, you're very lucky to be a slave to so-and-so? Eliezer and Avraham. Right? Eliezer comes from a world of Canaan. Eliezer was doomed from Cham. Eliezer was doomed to be a slave. So if you have to be a slave, you might as well be a slave to what? To a chashuv guy like Avraham. It's better than being a slave or being an Eliezer for some low life. You got to be an Eved Avraham, and Eliezer became chashuv because of that. He overcame some of that curse that was upon him because he worked for Avraham. So in Mitzrayim, they had the same logic going. They said to the Jewish people, Mitzrayim, we're the world power. You're so lucky to work for us. This is as good as a Jew can get. You should be honored that we allow you to build our pyramids. You know, you should be honored that we allow you to work for the world's greatest power. At least you'll be like a footnote in the history books when it talks about how great and impactful Mitzrayim was, it'll say, and these were the Jews were their slaves. Get a shout out. It's not bad. Right? But that was a false narrative because the Jewish people were supposed to be the kings of the world. We're the princes. We're not supposed to be slaves. So we were sunken, we were bought into the sheker of Mitzrayim. And again, that's just one small manifestation of that lie. So there was a terrible sheker that the Jews had adopted to the point that they were proud Egyptians. They saw themselves as Egyptians. To the point that the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu was one that was built on falsehood. So Hashem says, I need to display myself in Mitzrayim to help these Jewish people get back on track. Because their lives have become a lie, a falsehood. And I need to reveal myself in Mitzrayim so that the most Egyptian type of Jew should be able to have a spiritual awakening. V'hainu al yedei sheyiru, shemi shenitva v'sheker v'achmana letzlan, yelo yirida v'ashpala ad nukva de tohom rabba, In other words, everything that you're going to see through the Ten Makos is that clarity and that reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And a Jew is going to find that nekuda of emes inside of himself, no matter how low he's sunk in a Mitzrayim, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means when Hashem says, I've heard the cry of who? The cry of Bnei Yisrael, the scream of Bnei Yisrael. On the outside, the Jews had become so Egyptian. But there was a point within a Jew, and there's always a point within a Jew, that's pure and that's holy and that's untouched, that's undamaged. That's why we were on the 49th level of Tumah, but we weren't on the 50th level of Tumah. There's a point of lowliness that a Jew doesn't sink to. Vizayish Levair. When the Pasuk says, Ani Shamati as Naakas Bnei Yisrael. Right? That Bnei Yisrael screamed out. What was their cry? Shazehu Naakasim. This was their cry. Asher Mitzrayim Ma'avidim Osam. That the Egyptians are what? They're not just forcing us as Jews to be slaves, right? But we've adopted a slave mentality. They've caused us to change our whole way of thinking. Hashem, get me out of this mess. It's not just that I know who I am and I feel I'm held hostage. I'm losing my sense of identity. We've become Mitzrayim. We become Egyptian. The Hashba of Mitzrayim has caused me to redefine myself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His wondrous mercy, take of kishirotzim l'tar, when a Jew is able, no matter how low he's fallen, but when a Jew says, and this is a powerful technique, this is not just like a theoretical, this is nice, you know, a nice chassidish of art about Jewish history. This is a way to actually recharge yourself and to reawaken your connection to Hashem. When you feel really bad about yourself and you feel really low and you've had a bad streak of missing davening and not learning and not being, you know, nizar in all sorts of areas of mitzvos, and you're thinking, ugh, I feel very far from Hashem. It's hard to restart. So find that na'akas b'nei Yisrael. Find that cry of the part of you that's pure, that's still 100% perfect. It's untouched. It's undamaged. And say to Hashem, Hashem, help get free this point from within me, right? Hashem, shake off all that dirt and all that mud and allow the part of me that's pure to reemerge. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. We start every day with that, basically. God, the neshama you gave me is pure. Even after I did averus, my neshama is pure. The essence of me is pure. Vitzoakim alzel liftor me'atzar v'hamitzar u'mishtokim levo lebechinas emes. And that point of me that's true to itself and true to its relationship with Hashem, ask Hashem to free it from its captivity. Ve'ezkor es brisi. Hashem, remember the promise that we made to each other. Not only the promise you made to me, but the promise I made to you. And it's still true. I really do care about you, Hashem. After everything I've done, deep down inside, there's a part of me that's still Yisrael. Haynu ki yadua kefi hamida asher ha'odim ma'orim b'machshavto v'maisa milamata, kach ma'orim alav milamala. To whatever degree you want to awaken yourself below, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you from above. It's really important. Don't be afraid to ask Hashem for help. Talk to Hashem. Say, Hashem, this is what I'm struggling with. There's a part of me on the surface which is very unholy and improper and not where I want to be. But there's a part of me inside that's really strong and wants to be connected to Hashem. I was talking to someone the other day. I was talking to someone who was telling me that their friend keeps telling them that they really want to learn. And this friend is really frustrated because they're really frustrated because their friends always talk about how they want to learn, they want to learn, they want to learn, and they don't learn. And it's like annoying to like hear them always talk about wanting to learn and like, just, so learn already, you know? Like the friend, the chavrusa, whatever it is like annoyed at this other person, like always claiming they want to learn but not actually doing it. So do it already. And I said, you have to understand, sometimes when they say they want it, they really do want it. In their heart of hearts, they want it. There's a blockage that we have to figure out how to get out of the way so the person can actually start doing it. But don't say, nah, they don't really want it, because if they really wanted it, they would have done it by now. They do really want it. Deep down inside, they want to be a good Jew. Every Jew wants to be a good Jew deep down inside. Right? So to whatever degree a person could be ma'orer, milamata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you milamala. V'lezeh, keivan sheheim ma'orim b'midas emes shum more al ani rishon v'ani acharon b'ladai ein elokim. So when the Jewish people said, we want to be Jews, and the angels are laughing, you're on the 49th level of Tumah, you're not Jews? You're no better than the Egyptians. Right? And look, the Egyptians are ma'avidim. You've caused yourself to be a mitzvah. It's not just what they did to you. You did it to yourself at this point. You chose to live a certain way. But when a person digs deep to that point of MS, ani rishon vani achron, that Hashem is the bookends of my life, right? Shu rosh toch sof, beginning, middle, and end. He's referring to the word MS. Look at the word MS. Aleph, mem, tuf. Aleph is the first letter of the Torah. Mem is the middle letter. Tuf is the last letter of the Torah, of the Aleph base. Yeah, not of the Torah, of the Aleph base. So when a person says, I want to be Emes, right? I know that before I was created, I was a soul. And after my neshama is going to go back to Hashem. But yes, even in the middle right now, Elokai neshama shenasata bi, the neshama that you put into my body is tohore. To be shuiskashus alukuso min ein sof ad ein tachlis. I want to attach myself to Hashem from end to end. V'zeo b'chinas bris hiskashus me'elo letata ve'ezkor as brisi. When a Jew cries out and says, Hashem, you got to get me out of this mess, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets him out of that mess. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds a way to lift him up and to restore him to his place. Okay, so it's an important yisod to realize that even when Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam, that even when Mitzrayim has gotten to you to the point that it's warped your thinking, like we were learning yesterday in the Leket Amar, a Yetzirah that sometimes tells you to do something bad and you know it's bad, versus the Yetzirah that has convinced you to think differently. In Mitzrayim, they were brainwashed. No Jew ever escaped Mitzrayim. Do you understand what that means? The Tzaddikim of Ishvitz explained. There was no gate in Mitzrayim even. There was no fence in Mitzrayim. It was all propaganda. They were so brainwashed that they didn't even think that they could leave. You picture they were fenced in and there were security guards with guns. They had bought into this idea that, okay, this is, yeah. They are convinced they were supposed to be slaves. To the point that they were doing it to themselves. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that what? They dug deep. They found that cry, Nakas B'nai Yisrael. I want to live a life of Emes. There's something bigger than this Sheker. Sheker is destined to fall away. Emes is eternal. Aleph Mem Tov, from beginning to end. And they asked Hashem to help. Vez Kores B'risi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered the promise that he made to them and came to the rescue. Okay? Yeah. Right.
I think that fits in really well.
Right. Working with them. Yeah. Not just for them. Yeah. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What does that mean, finding that pure peace?
You tell me here, Josh. What does it mean? What does it mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean after, you had a bad week, you didn't daven, you didn't learn, didn't feel connected to Shabbos. You weren't nizhar in Inyanei Kedusha. No. Do you believe Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahori? It's the part of you that never wanted to do the Avera, even when you were doing the Avera. There's always a part of a Jew that says, this is against my nature. That's why the Maharal says every Avera is an accident. It seems like the biggest excuse in the world, right? Like the Maharal is giving us this great excuse, like, even if you did it intentionally, no, it was an accident. It's an accident in the sense that it's not who you are. Your neshama wants to be close to Hashem. Your neshama wants to get up in the morning and put on your tefillin and go to Minyan and learn Torah and talk like a Jew and act like a Jew and think like a Jew and make brachos like a Jew and say Asher Yatzar like a Jew. You know? That there's a part of you that always wants that. There's different ways to explain where we got that from. Right? One way of understanding it is that when we stood at Har Sinai and Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. So that was seared onto our essence, onto our soul. That's the answer to the question. Why is it not a commandment? Why is the first thing that Hashem says at Har Sinai not, I command you to believe in me? Why does Hashem just say it as a fact? I am Hashem your God. Statement. Fact. I am Hashem your God. Right? Did any Jew say, no, hold on a second, you can't declare that? Why was Hashem able to declare, I am Hashem your God, without any opposition? Because every Jew knew that it was true. I don't have to command it to you. You know it's true. The only thing I ask of you is not to block it. Right? And as we've said in the past, that's why what do we call a person who rejects Torah? We call them a kofer. What does the word kofer mean? A denier, right? But that shoresh, chaf, pei, reish, means to cover something. The kapores, the cover on top of the aron. Noach's teva was coated in kofer to keep the waters out. Right? Kofer means a cover-up, which means whenever a Jew is doing something that's not Jewish, he's just covering up the part of himself that wants to be a good Jew. So we have to just dig it out. That's the whole avodah. It's natural. Torah is a natural fit. We feel that Torah is like the superimposed system that's trying to direct us how to live our lives. It's so not true. It's the most natural fit. That's what the Maharal is saying. When a Jew does an Avera, the whole thing's an accident. And the Gemara calls it. We learned it yesterday. The Gemara calls Averos what? Ruach Shtus. You didn't have the mental wherewithal. What do you mean? I knew exactly what I was doing. I chose to do the Avera. Yeah, but you're not thinking straight. It's crazy for you to do an Avera. The Gemara calls every Avera craziness. You're doing something against your essence, against yourself. Again, the more a person is kofar, the more a person buries it, the harder it is to believe this sometimes. But I don't know. I'm anima amin in the biggest way. I'm the biggest believer in the Pintaliyad. That point inside of a Jew that wants to be a Jew, I'm the biggest believer in that. I really believe that about every Jew. Deep down inside, they want to be a good Jew. And whatever life circumstance that got us off track, it's just a question of digging it out from under all of those layers of kofar, all of those covers. The covers could be taivas, the covers could be all sorts of foreign philosophies, right? All the impressions of the world that are just piled on top. But if I could just throw all of that off, it's so natural. It's so, so natural for a person to be a yid. The Pintaliyad. And there's so many stories. You've all heard stories, you know? In, what's her name? Who's the woman who wrote the Tales from the Holocaust? Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust? What's her name? Guess what I'm talking about? Who wrote that book? Yeah, so there's stories, there's amazing stories of people in the Holocaust who, you know, who mamish were bad Jews. But in a moment, and push comes to shove, you know, there was a capo, there's a whole story of some capo who they brought in, there was Yom Kippur. The Nazis knew that it was Yom Kippur. And this was a capo who was mamish, you know, a Russia towards his fellow Jews. And they brought in this card. The Nazis knew the Jews were starving. They knew it was Yom Kippur. They knew many Jews were going to be fasting. And they brought in this card of, like, you know, delicious food. Stuff they had, food like, you know, starving Jews hadn't seen in months. And they said, everyone, come eat. Right? And this capo refused to eat. He says, Yom Kippur, I'm not eating. And this was someone who was, like, you know, working with the Nazis for his own protection. I said, Yom Kippur, no way, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the point inside of a Jew that says, no, I don't. Every Jew keeps Yom Kippur on some level. Even the Jews that don't keep Yom Kippur, keep Yom Kippur. Right? That's why Moshe Wolfson explains that when a husband refuses to give his wife a get, what do? Koifin osa tshioma rotzani. We beat him up until he says, I want to give the get. Right? You guys know that halacha in the Rambam? A husband who refuses to give his wife a get, and based on his determined that he's obligated to give a get, right? So we beat him up until he says, Rotza ani, I want to give the get. And then, oh, look, he said he wants to give the get. So the Rambam says, that's a joke. That's called wanting to give the get, because he uttered the magic phrase, Rotza ani, I want. And the Rambam says, at the end of the second parak of the Laws of Divorce, yes, deep down inside, he wants to do the right thing. We believe that Jews want to do the right thing. So when he says, Rotza ani, I want, it's a Gilo, it's a revelation of his greatest desire, his deepest, truest desire. So Moshe Wolfson says, Yom Kippur is Gematria, Rotze Ani. Because Yom Kippur is the day where every Jew says, Rotze Ani, I want. I want to be a Jew. At the end of the day, I want to be a Jew. When I get past all the shtuyot of the world, all the ruach shtus of the world, I want to be a Jew. So in Mitzrayim, that's what's happening here. Right? We had lost our voice. We lost our speech. Speech is the essence of one's humanity. Right? Hashem made Adam and Chava speaking spirits. Speech is what gives you life. It's what separates you from an animal. The Jews had been reduced to animals in Mitzrayim. And now they're getting their voice back and they cry out, Nakas b'nei Yisrael. They cried out, I'm still a Jew. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet, Afal pi shechata, even when you do averas, Yisrael ho, you're still a Jew. You're a Jew who did averas, you're still a Jew. Deep down inside, you're still a Jew. So that capo took a bullet right there on the spot. The Nazi said, you eat or we're going to kill you on the spot. So kill me, I don't care. I mean, this whole time you've been helping the Nazis to try to spare yourself and being cruel to your fellow Jews. Yom Kippur, I'm not eating on Yom Kippur. You're not a frum person. You're not a frum person. Where does that come from? Right? That's the Tanya. Learn Tanya chapter Yerches. Tanya chapter 18. Perek Yerches. Talks about how every Jew is prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. It goes back to Avraham Avinu being thrown into a fiery furnace for God. It goes back to hearing Hashem at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, fact statement, I am Hashem your God. And no one challenged it because they all knew it was true. Yeah. Right.
But that's how you define Hakaras Tov as not being Kofar Tov.
Right.
And so I think he's saying that Hakaras Tov is such an intrinsic thing.
Correct.
That Hakaras Tov is just recognizing something, whereas the opposite of it is to actually cover over the Tov.
Very good. Very good. A lot of Kfira is rooted in a lack of Hakaras Tov. Makes a lot of sense. The Sfas Emes says that we're called Yehudim, right? Our name. We're called Yehudim collectively. You may not all be from Sheva Yehuda, but we're called Yehudim, which is a lashon of Hoda. That's the essence of who we are. And it's the end of that first pasuk we heard from God at Har Sinai. I am Hashem your God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher etzeisicha me'eretz Yitzrayim beis avadim. In other words, I did something really good for you, so now I'm your God. Right? Hakaras Tov, you owe it to me. That's how the Biala Rebbe explains one of his svarim. Hakaras Tov is the root of Kol HaTorah Kula in a certain sense. Everything that happened with Adam and Chava also. Adam blaming Chava. Hashem says, what? Blaming Chava? Blaming your wife? The greatest gift, I gave you a wife. So Hakaras HaTov is very fundamental to being a Jew, and that's why, yeah, Bikurim comes right after Amalek, right? The end of Kitetzai and the beginning of Kisavo. Amalek is the antithesis of everything we stand for. Bringing Bikurim, bringing first fruits and recognizing God is the essence of who we are. But Hakaras HaTov is just rooted in reality, right? Acknowledge the reality. Say thank you to the person who did something for you. To chutzpah, to deny the reality. This person did something for you and you're not going to say thank you. So because Baruch Hu took you out of its rhyme, you're going to pretend God doesn't exist? It's irrational. Right? So it very much goes to the root of being a Jew. Okay, Chavi, the hour's late. I want to do one last piece. Let's do one last piece. Which one should we do? Two more little ones which are kedai to do. We'll do the second one. Let's do Kaved Lev Paro. Kaved Lev Paro. Me'ein l'shalach ha'am. Paro has hardened his heart, and in doing so is refusing to release the people. Okay, Kaved Lev Paro. Yesh l'ha'ir b'zeh shelo nichtav zeh ha'lashon rak b'makah harishona shahay sadam. Specifically, by the first makah, it emphasizes Kaved Lev Paro. Paro has hardened his heart. Why dafka over there? Does it say Kaved Lev Paro? What is its relationship to the first makah of Dam? So you'll see something very, very nice, very sweet idea. Ki adayin lo noda kol kach kvedus libo. Right? Meaning at this point, we haven't seen Paro harden his heart. Meaning by the end of the makos, we see that Paro is really, he's putting up a good fight. After everything he's been through, he's still not letting the Jews go. We could call that what? Hardening the heart. But at this point, where do we see Paro has a stubborn heart? He hasn't seen the hand of God yet. He hasn't seen the makos yet. So why dafka by makas dam does it say kaved lev paro? So he has an amazing explanation. Hinei shamati b'zeh b'shem mechutani harav ha'mafursam Morena Rav Lipa. I heard from my mechutin Rav Lipa from Chmelnik. U'kumduma li shereisi achar kach chasav zeh b'medrash. And the truth is the idea that he shared with me is actually rooted in Chazal. And what is the idea? V'hainu kaved lev paro, She'etzal paro nishapich halev v'naseh kaved. We spoke about this once in the past. Amazing idea. Kaved lev paro means that paro's heart became his kaved, became his liver. Kaved is a liver. So kaved lev paro doesn't mean paro hardened his heart, but kaved lev paro, the lev of paro became like his kaved, like his liver. His heart became his liver. What does that mean? What on earth is that? I know kaved lev paro, she'etzal paro nishapich halev kaved. Right? His heart became like his liver. Okay, it's very quickly to review because it's relevant to our Masech, the Masech of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara talks about the moment that HaKadosh Baruch gets angry every day. Right? We know that Hashem gets angry for 1 minute a day, 1 moment a day. Ki rega ba'apo chayim birtzono. Rega ba'apo, for af, means angry. Hashem gets angry for a rega. Okay? And Bilam HaRasha says, Bilam wanted to what? To use that moment to curse the Jews. So Tosfos asked the question, how is Bilam going to curse the Jewish people in a split second? Rega means a split second. Hashem gets angry for a split second. Bilam was going to time his curse for exactly that moment to try to destroy the Jews. How is he going to give a whole long speech in a split second? So Tosfos says, one opinion is, as long as you start the speech in the right time, you're allowed to finish the speech. But Tosfos' second opinion is that Bilam wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael with one word that he could say in a split second. A three-letter word, Chaf, Lamed, Mem, Kaleim, destroy them. That's all Bilam wanted to say. At the moment that God gets angry, Bilam HaRasha wanted to curse Bnei Yisrael, Kaleim, curse the Jews in 1 second and destroy them. And Tosfos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Bilam's Kaleim and he turned it around. And Bilam was forced to say, Utruas Melech, Kaleim backwards is Melech, Truas Melech Bo. That Hashem's companionship, Trua, like Russian of Reyim Ahuvim, after the Reyach HaKamocha. Yeah, so Truas Melech Bo, he turned it into something of a bracha. Because Bilam was forced to bless instead of curse. Okay, but the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, amazing idea, what's the difference between Kaleim and Melech, exactly. Kaleim versus Melech. So we know, we have a nefesh, a ruach, and a neshama. We have a liver, we have a heart, and we have a brain. Yeah? Nefesh, the lowest level of soul, is found in my kaved, in my liver. Because the liver is a very bloody organ, and the Torah says, ki adam hu ha-nefesh. Kashering a liver, you have all sorts of questions in terms of dam. So, the liver, which is a place of blood, is a place of the nefesh. Where's my ruach? The next level of my soul is in my heart. Lev tahor barali elokim ve ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. So ruach is in the heart. Nefesh is in the liver. Ruach is in the heart. Neshama is where? Brain. That's why some people, before they put on their tefillin, right, as they say that special tefillah before putting on tefillin, we say that what I'm attaching the tefillin shel rosh above my head, shahan neshama shebemochi, that my neshama in my mind should be properly oriented to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now, kaved, lev, moach. What's the Rashi Tevos? Kaved, lev, moach. Chaf, lamed, mem, which means kalem, destroy them. Right. Moach, lev, kaved, melech. A Jew is supposed to be a ben melech. In other words, I have to use my intellect, I have to be rational. What does Hashem want from me? Use my neshama. I use that then to arouse my emotions. And then, so to speak, the liver, the blood, the bodies, I'm able to act upon it. What did Bilam want to do? Kaleim, kaved, lev, moach. I use my blood, I use my animalistic drive to incite my heart, and then I try to rationalize it after the fact. I use my brain to try to explain why it's not really such a bad thing to do. Right? That's a backward system. So Bilam wanted us to enter into that world of kalem, to corrupt our thinking, using our body upwards to corrupt our thinking. It's similar to what was happening in Mitzrayim, right? That power caused us to not be able to think straight. There was a gullus hadas, there was a gullus hadibur, We were out of whack. We had become animalistic in Mitzrayim. We had changed our thinking in Mitzrayim. Corrupted our thinking. So now, Kaved Lev Paro. Right? Paro turned what? His heart, which is supposed to influence the liver, he turned his heart into another liver. Which means Paro was animalistic in that way. Okay, so let's finish the piece. We know, like the pasuk says in Eicha, bad things don't come from Hashem. And when bad things happen in this world, we can't blame Hashem. We need to take responsibility for it. The sin itself comes to afflict me. My punishments come from not Hashem. It comes from my avera. The avera itself creates the punishment. And he brings Pesukim to prove this point. Gemul yadav yeyaselo. Right? The actions of one's hands are going to act upon him. Or tiasrech ra'asech. Let your wickedness cause you to suffer. Or the pasuk in Yeshaya, v'tumugenu biyad avonenu. We melted in the hands of our sins. It's not Hashem punishing you. It's your aveira itself. It comes back to get you. Chas v'shalom. U'lakach b'vadei me'ein apagam v'hara sha'asa hu ha'onesh. And therefore, in accordance with the punishment is the crime. What we call mida keneged mida. So now, why is Paro, right? Why is the Torah telling us that Paro turned his heart into a kaved? I told you the kaved is a very bloody organ. The liver is very bloody. Kashering a liver requires extra care to remove the blood. Ah, so now I understand why by the first makkah, dam, the Torah is emphasizing that what? That Paro was very liver-like. He was very much connected to the liver, to the blood. Why was Paro punished with dam? Because that was a reflection of himself, of his sin. The fact that he made his heart like a liver. And by being stubborn in that way, by not using his heart in a pure way, but by corrupting his heart, he created a mashchis, a destructive force. Every time we do an avera, we create malachim who are damaging. And mida keneged mida. If you act in a way of blood, of kavid, so the punishment is dam. Amazing. And with this we can understand a final point. When the Medrash says, mimakas dam ha'ashiru b'nei Yisrael, that the Jews got rich from makas dam. We learned this when we were kids, right? The Jews were able to sell water to the Egyptians and make some money. Right? You see, the first step to becoming a Jew is being a capitalist and making a good living and selling things to... Okay, fine. Ki yadua shekol ha-makos haya nagofer afo. Because we know that all of the makos were afflicting and healing. Afflicting the Egyptians and healing for Klal Yisrael. Nagof le-Mitzrayim v'rafo li-Yisrael. That from the maka itself, the same thing that was afflicting the Egyptians was bringing salvation to the Jews. From the illness itself was coming the healing, was coming the bandage. The thing that was afflicting the Egyptians was healing the Jews. So the Egyptians were getting dam, mamish, blood, but the Jews were getting rich. Why is that mida keneged mida? Why is that mida keneged mida? V'damim tarti mashma. Because damim can mean blood, but sometimes damim means what? It means money. Sometimes a chazal, the word damim is tarti mashma. It means blood, it means life, but it also means money. It means financial wherewithal to sustain life. So for the Egyptians it was blood, reflecting Paro's kaved, Paro being liver-like, again a bloody organ. And for the Jews, the dam expressed itself in the other mashmos of the word dam, which means money, and therefore the Jews became successful and wealthy. There's many other secrets here for those who are able to understand, he says, l'mayin u'maskil heitev, v'yimtza behem dvarim neflam. And if you look into this, you'll find more wondrous things. But again, you see the precision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see the mida keneged mida. And you see that how Hashem was able to punish the Egyptians and heal the Jews. Mamish ba'oso davar. which is just an important yisod in life. The same thing that to one person could be a punishment, to another person could be a bracha. Take any mitzvah of the Torah. For one person, oh, it's so frustrating. Mitzvahs are so restrictive. For another person, what do you mean? Torah sets me free. It's a question of a person's attitude and connection to Hashem. Okay, let's hear two final comments. Yeah.
I'm sure I meant the fish, but is actually 26. You say from the very beginning of the Shemar.
Right. Very good.
Shem is going to say,
okay, very good. Good. Right. That's right. Very good. Yes. Exactly. It's the same thing. Yeah, the tzaddikim said, Gan Eden and Gehenna are not two different places that you go to. It's a question of your attitude. Right? The same thing which for one person could be... what? Oh, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I think that's a more mature understanding. That heaven and hell are not some place that you go. Heaven and hell is what you've made of your soul over the course of your lifetime. And if you've worked on yourself and you have that encounter with Hashem, you'll feel really good about it. And if you've, you know, spent your life pursuing physical pleasure and rejecting God who kept you alive all these years, then yeah, you're gonna feel like you're in hell. Yeah. Yeah.
How do we reconcile that with the fact that during Kosher forfeits of Nesol?
That's my pshat. That's a pshat I love to say. There's five parts of the soul. Yeah. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Right? Four-fifths Galapayim, but Yechida, the Pintel Yid, that one-fifth of every Jew came out of Mitzrayim. It's not that one-fifth of the Jews came out of Mitzrayim. That one-fifth within every Jew, they left four-fifths of themselves behind, but there was a part inside of them, of every Jew, that emerged.
Way back,
Very good.
And then also similar to what Daniel was saying before, that in Gimel Beis, that the Cham of the Derechama, or that the heat of the sun is Merafim Tzadikim,
right?
Burning the
Mashiach. That's right. The same sun, which could be illuminating, could be burning and destroying. Yeah. Could be. Could be. Ah, the liver is cold. Yeah, there's a lot to think about here. Okay. All right, let's take a